Hey guys, this is Fight Scene with F16. Today I'm really excited to introduce our interviewee. Today, got the pleasure of having Lolo Amuli on the show today. I might not look it, but I'm pretty excited. Amazing man, done amazing things in the sport. It's like he's the veins that carry the blood through this country with kickboxing, Muay Thai, and boxing. Yeah, remember hearing something that never put your heroes up on pedestals, because you just work out that they're just human beings as well. But yeah, it's hard not to put Lolo up on a pedestal. So hope you enjoy, guys. How old are you now, Lolo?
I'm 64.
64. Oh, yeah.
Old bugger.
But you're still involved in the... And the kickboxing or boxing?
Yeah, still going, bro. But now it's slowly teaching our guys as well as my young guys to get around more, have a little bit more time for myself.
Oh man, you've done some amazing things with the sport.
Thank you.
You've produced many champions, but not just that. Like, I know you care about the person and the heart, and I think you've touched many human beings' lives through this sport.
Benson.
I do know it takes a big toll. It takes a lot of time and energy and sacrifice for your own personal life. That's good that you're taking time out for yourself and for your family. I've done a bit of an introduction before, Lolo, but just for people that don't know who you are, and I don't know half the things you've done because I'm an Aussie, but I was lucky enough to come over here in year 2000, and I fought over here and then met you. And a lot of us fighters, we're like that. We can get very enclosed in our minds, but then there's, you meet other people doing amazing things. So some of the people that I looked up to in the 1990s, were like the Briggs family and the Briggs brothers and their father Dave. You came over to Australia. What year did you come over?
The team I took over to Australia was one of Dave Briggs' promotion in 1992.
Yeah. Who fought on that show? Do you remember?
I brought in Ray Sheffield. He couldn't get a fight. I brought in my young brother Tom, John Conway, a guy called Owen Arapai.
Yeah.
Jason Rimmore. Yeah.
Jace, yeah. Yeah.
It was some of those guys faced through Australia.
Yeah.
When you talk about half of the thing you don't know about me, I actually got recognized more in Australia than here.
Really?
The Fist and Feet magazines and Australian Fighting Art was writing good stories.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got they got an award with the International Kickboxing magazines.
Yeah.
The social media here, you get recognized for little things that we do around the gym and the community. But I think I got recognized, even Lucy too, with the WKBA.
Yeah, WKBA.
I got a South Pacific Coach Manager of the Year one time, I think it was 1998. Never really had a major recognition here. At the time, it was about 80% of them in Australia.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it was nice, but, it was nice to get a recognition and
yeah.
We love being anyway, so, yeah.
You know, like you've developed so many champions. I rattle off a few names that I know of, so Ray Sefo, Jason Vermoor, John Conway, Doug Vinny, the Waikato Warrior, George Castro, and then you've...
Jaco Farrani had a really good fight with Paul Brixton, that one. Yeah.
All right.
That was, yeah.
All right. And, we'll talk about about Ray for a little bit. Like, he's like a superstar in Japan, you know?
Yeah.
And does he still live in Japan?
No. It's actually Ray is over in the US now. He was the president of PFL, Professional Fighting League. They just bought Bellator and probably the number two to UFC MMA in America or probably around the world.
Do you remember the date, the year that you went over to the K1 with Ray?
Yes. We send a lot of stuff to Japan when we hear about the K1. And of course, Ray was only a cruiserweight, you know, fights cruiserweight, light heavyweight, you know.
Oh, right.
Starve and dehydrate to even make light heavyweight.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Ongoing fight promotion in Hong Kong organized by my coach, Sifu Philip Lim. So we were lucky that he's got that connection that we have a regular shows at Hong Kong where we get to fight some of the Thais and often some Dutch fighters and sort of, you know, develop the experience because those guys were way ahead of us, you know. So, yeah, Ray and the boys were getting a lot of fight. And then 1996, after he fought Kirkwood Walker, you know, he was...
Yeah, Kirkwood Walker, yeah.
He was a WKA world champion, and Ray beat him. After he beat Andre Menard, this time we got an interest of the K1 because they want us to be the recognized name. We got flown to Japan by Mr. Ishii. We went into Osaka and attend the fight there, one of the K1 big event. And it just so happened that Jason Zadi, who trained with us, he's got friends in Japan, and he was fighting on the other card. He's fighting Ivan Hippolyte.
Yeah.
1996 at Tokyo Osaka Dome.
96, yeah.
And Jason beat him. There was an upset because, you know, nobody know who the hell Jason is. Ivan Hippolyte was, you know, he was the man. In Holland, apart from Thailand, Holland was the number two Muay Thai nation in the world.
Yeah.
They had the experience. They've been fighting in Thailand or fight against the Thai since the early 70s. And last year, we just slowly put our foot in there and start training ties and learn about the art of, you know, eight weapons, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was a shock to the system for me because even though we went to Hong Kong and fight there regularly, you know, they would, the biggest stadium there is, you know, 8,000 people. And then we walk into Japan and the dome and it would have plus stages there. 60,000 people in there.
All right.
And it was packed. And we were walking there. They had all the sound system that you only get to see in Michael Jackson concert. You know, and everything. We walk in there, they feel the goosebumps, you know, like, but Mr. Ishii get us in the front seat right next to the ring. And we were yelling the structure to Jason Sati, you know, while he was fighting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the first time. And then, of course, after that, following year, we come back and we all agreed to all the terms. And Mr. Ishii got the lady called Stacey Kim. She was an interpreter. And after negotiating, we all, you know, we agree on that. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Ishii can speak in English. He was speaking English. He know how to speak English the whole time, but he... I guess we say something wrong, I guess.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a different ball game for us. I was just a young trainer, young coach, you know, just trying to promote the fighters because no one else was promoting them, you know. So, so going there and sitting down and talk big money for these people is something very, very new to me. So,
yeah,
we didn't do in the first place, but all of a sudden we get flown around the world, you know? a bonus. But yeah, it was a good, you know, it was a good meeting, and we came back, and Ray never looked back. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so where did it all start for you, Lolo? Tell us a bit about your personal life, your upbringing. What got you into combat sports?
My family and my father's side and my mother's side, they were both boxing families. So I grew up in a boxing family. I don't think my mom really liked us to box, because my granddaddy was a very, very good coach. And she would have seen a lot of people get hit in sparring, and I don't want my kids to go through that. But whenever we run into grandpa, she'll make a punching bag out of rice sack, and then fill it up, and then start teaching me and my brothers, you know. Sure. But I grew up in that, of course, the Bruce Lee era during the 70s. I listened to your podcast with Terry. It's a very similar story. So, you know, I used to make my own little nunchaka from little. Use little chain and a kid and a screw. I think I hate myself more than but so yeah, but you know, like everybody played rugby in the island. You know, we came back here in 1974. You know, like we still watch the karate movie. My brother Elpit will always buy magazines of like black belt magazines, like magazine at the time, Karate Illustrated, and you know, there was he would keep up with the, you know, with the latest one, and we get to watch it and we read about guys like Betty the Jet and like Al Wilson, and we see these guys on the magazines, and you know,
yeah,
vibe some of their stories, and you know,
yeah.
So, but it wasn't until 1978. Yeah, 1978. I broke my collarbone from playing rugby at school, and even though my collarbone healed up, it wasn't healed enough to play, because you still had to tackle, and you know, and I was playing part time. I had two things in mind. I wanted to either be a musician, or playing rugby, you know. So I was playing, and I got $50 paid for my, you know, for my with the gig that I was playing at, and it was a lot of money back in the days, you know.
Yeah.
And I remember I couldn't play rugby because my shoulder's not strong enough to play. And I was just walking along Albert Street, and I saw a City League art gym there, and you know, and I decided to go and check it out. And I walk in, and I had a bell bottom pants on me. It was the last run before we went fishing, and jeans, and I walk in there. I saw all these people stripping and kicking and punching, you know, all around that little hole.
Yeah.
I watched there for about 5 minutes now, and I talked to the instructor. His name is Sifu Philip Lem, and he said $25 joining and $25 a month. So I gave my $50 and I walk home after. I straight it away, yeah.
Well,
an idea walk home up, but after it was about an hour to walk back home. It's a long, long way to go. But yeah. I regretted that decision.
Them movies and magazines have got a lot to answer for, eh, Lolo?
Yes, Terry's your podcast with Terry. I mean, Terry is probably the most rounded martial artist. Because this is, you know, like when you start to know guys like Terry in the 80s, Terry was already doing everything. He was doing boxing, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, karate, kickboxing, Muay Thai. He was the only one who was actually doing, you know, and he would save his money to go to China for more learning. He's a true martial artist, okay?
Yeah.
He tried everything that most of us don't really, you know? So, when he told me that you talked with Terry, I had to listen and couldn't get enough of
it. Yeah, I think, what was it, the International Kickboxer, when they'd done articles on you, Lolo, and we'll talk a little bit about another reason why you had an impact on me personally, is like, you know, the photos that they had in the International Kickboxing magazine, and all your fighters had CIOS on their shorts.
Mm.
And I met another bro that I trained and lived with for a while, Marco Spain. And yep. I said, hey, Marco, what's that on their shorts? And he's like, oh, that stands for Christ is our Savior. And I'm like, so I wasn't a Christian at that time. But my mum was. She tried to get me to go to church but I'm like, nah. But then I seen all these champions and everything, and they got Christ as our Savior on their shorts. Yeah, it blew my mind.
Mm.
And then later on, my own journey, I come to a faith in Christ.
Goodbye.
Yeah, but I think you're a bit of an innovator, Lolo.
Thank you.
And I also know you've got a heart for people, and you're also an innovator, like with the community. Like, tell us about some stuff now. We spoke when I came to New Zealand a couple of years ago. We spoke a little bit about what you're doing, and can you tell us more about what you're doing in the community with the kids and?
Yeah, I'll tell you how the gym start. I was looking for a place, and some place either too far away or too expensive, or too small or too big. And I ran out of ideas, and I haven't been to church for a long time. So I drove past Belmore, and I saw the church hall doors open. So I went in there. Well, I just went in there for have a little bit of a prayer, okay? Said, God, you know, help me. I've run out of ideas. I don't know, you know. Help me find a gym. I used to work with this guy. His name is John Merrick. God bless his soul. He just passed recently. I came out, and he was, we were both working in a place called Red Rubber, and he was in a running club, marathon running club. But I go run with them during lunchtime to prepare me for my fights, you know. So, and I came back, and the place was shut down. And this was a few years later. And as when I was praying and I came out, the first thing I saw was John. I said, hey, John, hi, mate. So, yeah, are you still doing your Bruce Lee stuff? Because, you know, I would run with their marathon team, you know, like they had a social running club. And I was running with them for my fight. They were running to compete at running.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I am. John, I am, you know. I am, and I... You know, I'm looking for a place. And he paused for a while. I said, look, would you come and have a look at this place? You know, so, yes, of course. And so we walk around the church hall and they went downstairs. And we walk into this place. It was only about 100 square meters, but it was or less than 100 square meters. They have all sort of rubbish in there, like mattresses and old furniture. It's a place where the parishioners take all their chunk to donate to the church, but it was been there for so long.
Yeah.
It's all, you know. And I said, if you can clean this up, you can have it. I'll talk to Father Ward, and we can make arrangement for some sort of a koha or rent it out to the church. And I said, okay. So I ring up my friend Tojo. He was one of the managers at the place I was working at, to borrow the company truck. So we came back and we get a, we were just a friends and family. We put all the chunks in there on a truck and took it to the dump. What amazingly, after Shannon, when we finished, they already had balls there in the corner for boxing rope, for ropes, boxing ring. Everyone hanging up for the, it was already a boxing gym, you know, a fighting gym.
Yeah,
back in the day, it's the Marist Brothers Catholic school. They had boxing as part of sports option in all the Catholic school.
Yeah.
It was really a boxing gym.
Yeah, you're right.
I asked for anything that I get it. I asked for gym and I got it. It was already. So after we cleaned up, we found it was a gym. They had a toilet, female and men, which is very unusual because back in the days that they don't have women boxing. They already had a female toilet and a male
change
toilet.
Room. Yeah.
It was perfect, you know. It was pretty much handed to us. God gave it to us. So.
Yeah.
And this was Monday, the 19th of October, 1987, okay?
Wow.
87.
Yeah.
And God thought a word to bless the gym, and we opened it on following Monday, which is 20th of October, okay? But this was on a Monday earlier, okay? And anyway, 37 years later, you know, we are different place now because
earthquake.
You know, there's an earthquake, you know, and you know it's too dangerous to use it for, you know. But anyway, that's how it is. And my wife and I, we married for nearly 14 years. You know, we didn't have any children. And then we have Lola Jr. You know, with grace of God, we got two boys. And guess what? Lola was born on the 19th October 2004. There was So how's that for coincidence?
Yeah, it's, tell us a bit about the program that you do with the young ones.
Yes, we run a lot of program at the moment. Now we're running a kids program. I take the kids class especially myself. So, but we also do anti-bully drilling and leadership, little practical life skills, you know. That's my baby. That's the program that I'm, you know, I want to share, you know, to everyone or different region, you know, because I'm too old to flying and camp in Thailand for months of camping. I don't want to do that anymore, you know. I'll help a professional. I get asked all the time to work with pro fighters. I still do, but now, going overseas and all the long camera stuff, I can't do that anymore. You know?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. When I came over, Jason Sooty brought me over. I can't remember what year it was. Up in Auckland.
Yes, I saw your fight there.
Yeah, yeah.
At St. James Theatre, right, at Queen Street.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and,
in Brisbane.
I wasn't.
Yeah. I remember how tough you are. You never take a backward step.
Yeah. I was pretty, you know, I was upset. I trained hard, and but I lost fair and square, and that's the fight game. But it was funny. My dad flew over to come and watch that fight. You know, he used to work overseas in the mines up in Indonesia. You know, for me and my brothers, he didn't spend much time with us. You know, but he come and watched that fight. I was happy. But yeah, I remember. And my dad's he's a typical, I shouldn't say typical Aussie, but you know, the Aussie New Zealand rivalry thing,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, I grew up in Papua New Guinea as a kid, and the big rugby games were on, and they're mostly like, cause my dad's Aussie, and they're mostly Aussie families, and a lot of alcohol going around, and I used to hate it, you know, to try and get away from it, like that rivalry thing. But anyway, my dad came over, and he was walking, you know, walking in the auditorium, and full of big Maori boys, eh? And I'm like, it's all right, Dad, it's all right, come on, come with me. And then I remember you were standing up on the door, and you had two big boys next to you. I don't know who they were.
Yeah, you know, it would have been Hori and Hiriwa Jirangi.
Yeah, yeah. And Dad was like, hey. But I'm like, nah, it's all right, Dad. Hey, Lolo, like, sung out to you, you know. Yeah, so yeah, a bit of a funny story. Yeah, so how long have you been married for, Lolo?
Now it's about 34 years now. About 34 years, yeah.
And two children?
You had two children.
Yeah.
But it took us, nearly 14 years. But I've never been pressured. I knew that, you know, when God signed me, it's right, we're going to have children. I've never been pressured that I won't have any. I always believed that. And sure enough, that's what happened. But until then, I had to settle for, you know, for Ray Steffo and Philly Moore and all those guys as my children.
Yeah.
I had 150 at the gym.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's it, Lolo. Like I said in the intro before, I said you're like the veins and arteries through the kickboxing in New Zealand. You know, like I see on social media, like people just have got so much respect for you and love for you. Like you've touched a lot of people's lives. And I'm sure it goes further than people that are still in the sport. It goes a lot further than that, you know, like, because not everyone's going to be a champion and not everyone's going to stay in the kickboxing game. You know, they're going to go off and do other things in life.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's.
We made a lot of friends in this sport, Shannon. And, you know, it's funny, a lot of people looked up as the fight game is a brutal sport. I've met some of the best people in the world in the sport, you know.
Hey guys, I hope you liked part one with Lolo. Hang out for part two. But before that, please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you.